Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The Hacker Factory podcast with hacker maker Philip Wiley. You're about to discover what the role of a professional hacker entails, the different specializations it holds, and what it takes to learn and become one. Enjoy the conversation as Philip and guests unveil the secrets of professional hacking, a mysterious, intriguing, and often misunderstood occupation. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hello and welcome to this episode of The Hacker Factory. I'm your host, Philip Wiley. I refer to myself as The Hacker Maker because I teach and mentor aspiring pen testers. This show is an extension of those efforts, which are my passions. And today I have with me my guest, Meryl Vernon, and she's got a very interesting story. I think it will be inspirational, and hopefully this will inspire you to get started in red teaming or pen testing, or inspire you to work harder. So welcome to the show, Meryl. Could you introduce yourself and tell our audience about you and your background?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me back again. After the other talks that we've done, I'm super happy to be here. My name is Meryl Vernon. I am a red team operator for Zoom Communications. And I am kind of known as the girl who basically only has a Sec Plus. I do have a number of other vendor-based industry certifications. I do have a NAWS DCP, but that's about it. So I got pretty far on basically a lot of my academic aptitude, my self-learning, without a lot of certs. And so my journey really shows you that you can come very far in a very small amount of time if you're so motivated. And, you know, to get creative with what you've got in front of you. You can make anything that you already have in your arsenal work for you. Under a year and a half ago, I got my first pen tester position and I didn't know a dang thing about pen testing. And, you know, now I'm a red team operator. So you can absolutely go for it.
That's great. You made great progress too. I mean, that's, you know, these stories are to inspire people. And, you know, you hear so many stories of the people that's got all these different certifications and been doing that all these years and stuff. And I try to share with people that, you know, I had a student one semester that first of the semester, he says, I want to be like you, but I don't want to take as long to get there. Can I do it? Of course. It's, you know, it depends on the amount of time and effort you want to put into it. So I think your story is a good one because people hear so much of how many attempts people have, you know, tried at OSCP and failed or whatever. And then someone's got these certs and can't get jobs. So I think it's really important to share stories like yours because, you know, people are always asking, do I need a degree? Do I need a certification? So as far as, you know, we were talking, you mentioned education. So what is your academic background? What kind of degree do you have?
That's absolutely completely relevant. I actually have a Bachelor of Arts in Russian language and Soviet studies. So before I came into cybersecurity and pen testing in general, I was a linguist and a copywriter, and I worked in social media management doing marketing. So I was in marketing. And you know, that I actually directly relied on my marketing skills to get me where I got in cybersecurity. When I was starting out and I wanted to transition industries, I knew I was looking to break into a field where everybody wants to be. It's constantly growing. You know, there are great salaries to be had. There's fun projects to work on. And I was like, you know, no one's just going to stick their hand out and get invited into this club. So I had to get really creative in my approach to break in. And then once I was in, I leveraged and pivoted myself like very creatively in order to, kind of like you mentioned, make it happen faster. Everyone's like, calm down. This takes like 3 years and this takes another 5 years. And I was like, I don't have that kind of time, you know? So when I help mentor people, I help people, I always say, get started fast, cheaper, free. Like, cause I had almost nothing to work with. I had no training budget that was being sponsored by anybody. It was just me. I'm a single mom. I didn't have a ton of money to put into it, but I was like, I'm going to make it happen regardless. So pretty much every step that I took on my path doesn't require the big fancy $1,000 certifications or the SANS courses, or the things that you can't attain when you're still trying to break in. And also they kind of show you how you can rely on the skills that you bring already, to add something to cybersecurity, because everybody from any industry if you've never worked in tech before, if you have worked in tech in a different context, everybody brings something different to cybersecurity, and anybody can be a pen tester.
Yeah, it's good points too. And that's just kind of the point, like diversity in general, how, you know, it's important to have a diverse workforce, but also to the experiences that people bring to the table that you have that you wouldn't have if you just had just a bunch of old white guys, you know, so that is good. So when you got your first job in pen testing, could you explain how you did that? Were you working within the company or did you apply to get the pen testing role? How did that happen?
Yeah, so I was already working at the company. I'd been there about 3 months. I was working as the risk analyst. So I was working with the InfoSec department already, and the pen tester position didn't exist yet. I was one of two contractors. I was the risk analyst, and then we had a vulnerability analyst. And they realized that his workload wasn't really enough to have someone do that full time. They wanted to take his position, combine it with the testing responsibilities, and have a pen tester. And when they opened up that position, I had grown my responsibilities because I, you know, automated my job and learned my job within like my first 2 weeks of being there. And then I was like, I'm willing to take on more work. And so all the work that my bosses didn't want to do, I took on to, you know, learn it, put my name on it, talk about it, socialize it in meetings. So I became kind of, you know, I became a very key player in just about every meeting we went to, and we had a very small department. So when they opened up the pen tester position, I didn't have the most basic of all things that they wanted. their gateway cert was a Sec Plus. And I'd only been in this industry for 3 months. And when I entered it, I didn't even know, you know, I knew so little technical information. I didn't even know IP addressing. So I was like, okay, well, what is the bare minimum that I need to apply for this position? They were like, you need to get a Sec Plus, and we're closing this job in 3 weeks. And my buddies in the guard unit were like, oh, good luck. That takes people like 2 years to get. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do it in 2 weeks. And I did. I bought a book and I read it and I studied and I took the test, got the cert. They had to give me the interview. And in the interview, I knew I didn't have any of the skills that a pen tester would bring, right? I didn't have familiarity with tools. I didn't know any coding languages. I had never conducted a pen test myself ever. So I was like, I'm going to leverage and rely on the knowledge I already have in a security context for the company to get this job. So I told them, you know, that I currently run our vulnerability management tool. I currently run the DLP tool. I currently, you know, report on certain metrics relating to risk for the company already. I understand how my job as a pen tester works into the cycle of, you know, new product development, testing, QA, remediation, ongoing vulnerability monitoring and management. And I told them, I understand how my job factors into like four other departments for the company. I understand, because I grew up in risk, how to relate my findings back to risk. I understand how to make technical items business items. I can tell you how the work that I'm doing saves the company money or reduces the company's risk, which you can tie to a dollar figure. So I'm saying all these really jazzy things to the senior management, who like love this language because I'm speaking their language. And, you know, I brought a unique skill to the table in that I can take technical content and translate it to layman. I can tailor it for a certain audience, and I can make people understand complex concepts in a very simple way. So I leveraged all of that. And I said, look, I started here 3 months ago and I knew negative nothing. Look how far I've come. You know, I can handle the material. You know, once you set me off to learn, I'm going to blow you away like I already have. This is what it is. And they were like, yep, okay. So that was how I talked my way into the first pen tester position.
That's pretty awesome. And that's some good points to bring up there for people in the audience, skills to learn, because there's so many times that even you got a pen test team, they turn the report and they don't know how to really communicate the risks. That's a huge thing. I mean, just like one of my last, when I was working as a red team lead for a company, one of my projects there was working with the IT risk team on like an Active Directory audit, and just working with them. They didn't understand the technical part, but we're able to work together, and they just really understood the risk part. So getting to learn that, understand the risk and be able to talk business, and, you know, just different managers I had over the years and how they were successful was a matter of that some that have business degrees are able to relate that to management. And as you mentioned, you know, management, that's the way they talk risks and money, you know, if you put a dollar sign on it, we're going to lose, or we're going to save this kind of money, then.
Or you say the words bottom line. Yeah. Like, we understand. And
you make
that.
You make their job easier too, because otherwise there's a lot of cases you give this stuff to management, they're having to write up a report. So that's pretty cool and creative the way you're able to leverage those skills to get in. So the people that are interviewing you, did they know much about pen testing themselves? I mean,
the lady who was my boss as a contractor and who ended up being my, my equal team member once I was an FTE, she had a G pen. She had taken, she had a CEH, I think. She had a master's from WGU. She'd been in the industry for like 20 years. She had like 17 cybersecurity certifications, a hefty percentage of those being SANS. And, you know, she really knew her stuff, but the thing is she was the InfoSec program manager. So she was kind of like, we had our CISO, we had our security architect who very clearly was doing design reviews. And like, he was in that like DevSec ops life cycle for both infrastructure and, the developers. And, then we had me. So pretty much everything that wasn't one of those three functions, pen testing, being the manager or being the architect, she did everything else. She did security performance, security awareness, reporting. She was doing all of the, you know, vulnerability scans and reporting on that. Any new vendor we were going to on take, she did the research, the demos, the procurement process. She did the contractor. She did like everything. So she just had no time to dedicate to full-time testing. And that's when they figured out, you know, we now have a valid business need for a full-time pen tester. And boy, did they, because I never had a bored moment ever in that position. So they all really knew, the other two didn't really know much. They knew how the report should look. They knew what info they should get from a pen test. She was really the only one who knew how a pen test worked. And she was also my champion. She really believed in me because she'd seen the work that I'd done already underneath her. So actually the answer I gave in that interview that told them I would do a really good job, was they asked me, if you knew that your neighbor had a safe in his basement, how would you go about breaking into his house to get to his safe? And everyone else was like, oh, I break a window, or, oh, I just pick the lock and like let myself in or whatever. And I was like, all right, I have some questions. They're like, okay. I was like, does he have children? Does he have pets? Does he have a home alarm system? Is there a sign in his yard? Does he have floodlights? How many vehicles does he have? Does he work? Does he work at home? Does he leave? What time does he leave? Does he have a wife? Does she work? And I just like went through all this context that I needed. How close is the nearest neighbor? Who is their internet provider? You know, and they were like, okay, like, we understand now. So, you know, these, because as someone who would approach that puzzle, These are all the things that I need to know to develop an intelligent plan to not get caught. And that's what told them I would be a really good pen tester.
Yeah. They already saw that you had the reconnaissance concept down really well.
Yeah. They were like, oh God, we need her on our team, or she's going to be on someone else's team someday. So,
well, that's awesome. So how did you kind of go from there? Cause I mean, it was pretty awesome that you're able to get into that role. Did you really, I know you mentioned some of the other tasks that you did in the previous job there. Did you, were you able to automate some of the pen testing stuff once you got a handle on that?
Yeah, I was basically designing the program from the ground up. It's not like they'd already had one. And like the next person who waltzes in to replace me, that job is still open, by the way. You know, they're going to have workflows I've already set up to kind of pick up where I left off, but I had to design it from the ground up. So I was like, you know, we're going to align all of our testing activities to MITRE TTPs. We're going to, this is how we're going to standardize documentation. This is how we're going to report on things. And so I got to kind of build it myself, but in order to start being effective in my job, the first thing I had to do was learn how to run a test, because my boss was running all the tests and I was just kind of taking all of her findings and writing reports for her. So I was really good at the report writing already. And I needed to learn how to actually conduct the tests myself. So targeted learning, my boss got me a book called The First 90 Days, which tells you how to reduce your value, your break-even point on the value curve, which is where you're providing no value and doing a bunch of learning to the point where you're providing value back to the company based on what you've learned. It's typically about 3 months for people in new positions. And I wanted mine to be like much shorter than that. I was like, I want to show you I'm still good in this position, even though I know nothing about this job. So, I learned the tools in front of me. I already knew, you know, our vulnerability management platform, like I said, but I learned, we had a couple of other tools in our suite. So I learned, AppSpider, I learned Burp, I learned Metasploit Pro, which is something we used. And I learned a variety of other tools that we were using, because I was like, at the bare minimum, if I can run these tools, get the results from those, manually validate a few of these, and come up with around 10 findings, you know, you don't want to overload them with more than that anyway, they just won't remediate at all. So around 10 findings, highs and mediums, or if we have criticals, criticals first, and, you know, give them that, let them work on that, do another one next quarter. So I just learned by learning those tools first. It wasn't the most applicable industry-wise, because like really no one uses AppSpider or Metasploit Pro. I wasn't using open source tools. I wasn't using C2 frameworks that, you know, pretty much everyone else uses. But it enabled me to provide value back to my organization. And really at that point, I was trying to justify my job to them. So I wanted to show them I can provide value back to you based on tools you already have. I don't need you to go out and procure me Cobalt Strike and all these fancy things that, you know, I don't need them. I can make do a lot with what's in front of me already. And that looked really good. And then when I validated my skills and proved I could do it, I was like, now I have a use case for a better tool, a more sophisticated thing. You know, I need a VM, I need a Raspberry Pi, I need all these things to get like these future testing initiatives that I have in mind off the ground. And they believed in me at that point because they had already gotten business added value back from me.
That's good. So with your experience, if you could change it working with the team that knew what they're doing, or just kind of doing your own setup from the ground up, which would you prefer?
I liked having the autonomy over my position in my program, because, you know, I generally find the most effective way to go about things. Like, I'm a product of Lean Six Sigma, and I'm like, I really don't want any pushback. I really want to figure out the most intelligent way to design this program. I want to write all the documents. I want to have the processes work like this. I want to see if it works, change it, make it better, but I don't want to have to run it by a bunch of people. However, once those workflows were established, oh man, it would have been nice, because I had to run, as part of my workflow, I had to run about 13 tools, wait for those tools, troubleshoot those tools if they were messing up, aggregate all the results from those tools, because you can't just hand raw tool output to a business manager. They won't understand that. Determine what the context-driven actual valuable findings were, then go in and find ways to manually validate those things or reproduce it on my own. So, you know, I do believe in using automated tools. I think they're a good starting place, especially if you're new. But I think that there is some value in, well, there could have been a flaw in the tool. Did you configure the tool the right way? We shouldn't just rely on the tools pushback you'll get from the blue team. But when you can say on the next page, no, here's me in a terminal, and I literally went in and validated it with this script, they can't really say anything to that because you did it yourself. So it working on my own really forced me to have to learn the whole life cycle and all the aspects and like all the different roles a pen tester has to play, because I had to do them all myself. That's why I said I was the one woman red team. But you know, once Cadence picked up, it was like each pen test takes me like a month, because I need to scope it, I need to do all the documents, the test plan, communicate the test plan, everyone's good with the test plan, then do the testing, then gather all the findings, and then write the report. And like, it would take me like a month, and I'm working by myself. And it was like, you know, three people would submit a pen test request at once. And I'm like, okay, who am I doing first? And also, that's my next 3 months of work. That's my quarter. And I have to do firewall reviews. And we have, you know, there were other initiatives I was running besides the actual pen testing. I was doing a lot of vulnerability and security assessments outside of that for the org as well. So I think if you're going to have a robust, like really well working pen testing program, it makes sense to have multiple people. And also then like, people can learn, people can bounce ideas off each other. You can get more creative. When it's just one person, it's like, if that's the only idea I have, that's the only idea that I have to roll with. I don't really have anyone to like, how would you obfuscate this? Or how would you manipulate this thing? Like, there is none of that. So the customer loses a bit of that creativity, in my opinion.
Well, that's pretty awesome. It should have been a great confidence builder, because just based on the conversation, I could tell you really knew what you're doing. You really got things figured out, because a lot of people wouldn't know to validate findings. They'd run the vulnerability scan, see if they could hack it, but not always cognizant of just, so that's an awesome job. So it sounded like it was a really good experience. I mean, because I have to say, I don't think everyone, well, I'd say I'm pretty much confident not everyone would survive in that role successfully. I would say it'd been one of these things that they'd have to brought in some more help, or, you know, bring in someone senior to help. So that's pretty cool that you're able to to do that all on your own like that. So it looked like, I mean, what is it like now that you go into an organization that's a little more structured and a little more mature? How was that?
It's so nice. And, you know, I always say that that was a great place to grow up as a hacker, because again, I had to, you know, installing, we always say, you know, we're the people who can pwn anything, but trying to stand up a team server always goes wrong 12 different ways. seems to be where red teams get retarded. It's just standing up simple things we should be able to do. But, you know, I really had to learn it all myself. I had to troubleshoot it all myself. Any little error, that was all on me. So it was a great place to grow up. But God, working for an organization with a really robust outlook on security, with really big security buy-in from senior management and all the other managers, it is so nice. It's so nice not to have to fight a battle just to get a test off the ground. Like one time I was in a meeting for my old org where they were like, well, you're not going to touch our desktops, right? And you're not going to do this, right? And you're not going to do that, right? And I'm like, listen, if I can get there, we need to know that. Like, I'm not going to dig through all your stuff. I can just POC screenshot your desktop. Fine. Don't keep weird stuff on your desktop. But they're like, well, you're not going to do the CEO, right? I'm like, if China could get to the CEO, we need to know that.
Yep.
We really, like I used to say, if it's in scope for China, if it's in scope for me.
Yep.
But it was every time it was a battle. And then they'd be like, you know, this sounds really complex. Like, are you sure you can handle it? There are much simpler ways to do this. I'm like, don't tell me how to do my job. So working for an org that I work for now, it's like we have a manager who goes in for us and says, listen, there's going to be downtime. Users are going to get compromised. They're going to get taken down by the SOC. There's going to be some loss of productivity. Get down and jazzy with that now, because that's our job, is to know if that's possible and for you to know what the repercussions are and to make sure all the processes that result from both of those things are working properly. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's actually fighting for us and they're actually listening to him. This is great. So, you know, we get to, as creative as we want to get, that's what we can do. I get to use so many techniques that I always wanted to try in the past, but it was just always going to be way too mature for my old blue team. So it's a dream come true. Like, I always knew my next step would be working for a pen testing firm or working for a bigger company where they do have a really large security department and probably multiple offensive people. So it's like the Oz at the end of the brick road. Love my current team.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I'm sure you appreciate it coming from where you came from. And now you've got some better opponents to spar against. So that makes it a little more fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. So, if you were to recommend, what would be your recommendations for someone wanting to get started out?
You know, I always recommend a few approaches. There, you need to build your skills so that when you get opportunities, you actually have something to stand on. But you also need to build your awareness. People need to be aware of who you are. I always tell people, I am not the best at my job. I can throw you 10 people better than me, but I'm one of the loudest, most visible people in my job because I am out there putting myself out there. And it's really hard. Like the first time I ever posted something on LinkedIn, I was referencing a port and I was like, is that the right port before I hit publish? What if they tear me apart? What if it's not the right port? What if I'm saying this wrong? What if they're like, you're an idiot, clearly, because that's not how you would use this at all. And you know, the more confident you are in yourself and your skills, you're like, no, I know this is right. I know I'm saying this right. I don't care. So I'd say once you reach that level of confidence, get yourself out there, start networking with the people in this industry. Like the more that they know who you are, you know, the more likely it is that the opportunities, which are obviously so few and far in between, you'll get a preference on those opportunities because people will say, we don't just know you as a resume. We know you by the work you do. We see you putting out work like on LinkedIn, on Twitter. We know you know how to write tools. We know you know how to do your job. We know you know how to find vulnerabilities. It really speaks well to reinforcement and their resume building items. If you've never had a job in cybersecurity, you can say, well, I've never had a job in security yet, but I've pwned 30 machines on Hack the Box. I wrote these tools that, you know, the guys over at whoever just told me they downloaded and used last week. They love it. So, you know, I'm obviously contributing back. I know my industry. I know my craft. All you need to demonstrate is that you know your craft and you know your job really, really well. And there's multiple ways to demonstrate this. If you're not comfortable doing it on social media, because not everybody is, it's not about building a following. It's just about putting out valuable content, putting up out content that people find valuable or applicable. and they will sell you for you. You will have to do nothing and they will just talk you up because they love the product you wrote so much. I'm really good friends with, you know, John J. Hacking now. And that's because I loved his write-up on the OSCP prep. And now we're best friends because like, I loved that product so much and I believed in it so much and I socialized it to everybody. So you can do a write-up. If you take an assessment and you fail, do a write-up on that. Say, I failed because I studied these things. And when I encountered the test, I had these holes. I didn't know this information. There is something to be learned from every negative and positive outcome. So you can do write-ups on things you've attempted and failed at. You can do tutorials on like, I don't know how to install, you know, Kali on a VM, but here we're going to walk through it together. And all the mess ups you see me do, if you encounter this mess up, now you know how to solve it. Cause there's 1,000 videos of it going right every time and no videos of what to do if you encounter certain errors. You can contribute to CIS benchmarks. You can contribute to blog. You can support a podcast. You can write a tool. You can just make a contribution to someone else's tool. Hey, I noticed a typo. Hey, I changed this thing to work a little better. They will always appreciate that. You can do bug bounty programs, vulnerability disclosure programs, which are way easier and not as intense as bug bounty programs. I say also, if you have a security department at your company, reach out to those people and get to know them. Say, hey, you know, I just have a really big interest in what you guys do. And, you know, I was just wondering, what are some of the things that you do? Is there any way I can play a support role or, you know, with my manager's permission, get to spend like an hour a week on this with you? Because security teams are overworked and understaffed and they always need help. So, there's a number of things you can do to really get your face out there for your company, get your face out there to your network. You can show up where we show up. If you want to be a red teamer or a hacker, get in the Slacks and the Discords and the Twitter versus where we are. If you want to be in DFIR or Blue Team or Dev, I mean, there you have a mogul in your specialty. There, I can point you to someone you can learn from no matter what you want to do. But the more you show up where we show up, you'll feel more comfortable contributing and you'll see people ask stupid questions. You'll be like, cool, I have a stupid question too. And then they'll be like, oh yeah, I know that guy. I've helped him out with like 10 projects. He's learning. He's passionate. He's doing it here with us all the time. And then you have no experience, but you have people who know you and they'll vouch for you. Like, this is all valuable stuff you can spin to your benefit to get into this industry. Sorry, that was long, but.
Oh, that's okay. That's good. That's good information. And, you know, each episode we've got someone sharing something different. So the social media, the branding and all that stuff's important that people overlook. And it's pretty awesome that you learned that early in your career. Some people, it takes a lot longer to get that figured out. And then, like speaking and stuff. Some people like myself, I was terrified for the longest time, but I went to Toastmasters and overcame that fear and started, you know, speaking a lot. So there's things people could do that. And that a lot of times people overlook the soft skills too. And, you know, it's pretty relevant, you know, in what you're saying, you know, the things you're doing and your communication skills. So just kind of what are some areas in soft skills you would say to improve upon that really needs to be good as a pen tester or any kind of security professional?
As a pen tester, be able to explain very complex concepts in a very simple way. Like try taking, you know, Kerberos authentication or SQL injection or cross-site scripting and explaining that to someone who has no idea what they are, like your parents or your grandparents or your friends, and see if they can repeat it back to you in a mostly correct fashion. You know, get used to boiling things down for business managers, because as a pen tester, unless you work for a really bougie firm where all you do is get in, test, and send your screenshots to somebody, you're going to be writing the plan, defending the plan, explaining the plan, assuring people about the plan, doing the testing, gathering the findings, and writing the report, and then defending the report. And people are going to, you know, push back on you. And you really need to be very confident in how you're going about what you're doing. They're like, are you going to break this? Are you going to take us down? You're like, no, DOS is out of scope. I wouldn't do that anyway. I have payloads that will function like this, but they do not take you down. They pop a calculator on someone's desktop. You know, you can reassure them. So know how to speak to people who are not pen testers. Number one, public speaking is always great. I admire you for going to Toastmasters because, you know, we all know how I feel about things that make you uncomfortable. If you're not good at it, make it your best friend until you make it your bitch. Like, that's how you get good at things. I, at one point, was petrified of everything I'm good at today. Definitely take whatever hole you know you have and embrace that thing and work on that thing. I would say really, really good writing. It's not just technical writing. It's being able to explain it in a story. It's being able to explain it in a test plan and then explain it as a story verbally. It's being able to write out briefs. It's being able to explain TTPs. So, you know, your communication skills are super important. Your networking skills are super important. One of my first initiatives that I took when I got here was to reach out to people in other departments and start building rapport with them so that when we have to report on a product of theirs or work with them and I need to solicit help from them, we have a relationship to build on. I'm like, hi, you don't know me. I work on, you know, the team that everybody hates, but can you help me with this? You know, so I got a number of friendships going already. Just the ability to talk to your fellow coworkers and build rapport and maintain good rapport with people on the blue side, that's very important. Being able to speak dev is very important. If you do a lot of web app pen testing, it behooves you to walk in either knowing how they speak or how they understand vulnerabilities or how they code so that they take you a bit, they're like, oh, this person isn't just out to say, fix a dozen things, which takes us 10,000 lines of code. They actually are giving us, you know, things we can realistically do without completely dissecting all this code we just wrote. So there are a number of soft skills. If you work in sales, if you work in marketing, if you work in finance, if all the finance people, they know how to find. They know when there's a 1 cent discrepancy, you know, they make the best pen testers. They will look under every rock. No matter what background you come from, you have a soft skill. Even if all it is academic aptitude, like, listen, I don't know anything, but I learn really fast. That's what I said. I don't know anything, but I learn fast. I test well. I retain information. I think wicked fast on my feet. Like if you give me something today, 3 days from now, I will know that thing inside, outside, upside down. So I will only be new to something once. And they're like, okay, great. So they would just send me a word in chat and I would just Google that thing, that vulnerability, that incident, that tool. And they'd be like, what did you find out about that? And I'd tell them all about it and be like, okay, thank you. And like, that's what you do. So any soft skill, really good at Googling, you know, really good at working with people, really good at speaking to people. These are all soft skills you can use to your benefit.
Great advice. So we're getting down towards the end of the show and I'd kind of leave this part. If there's anything you'd like to discuss, any advice you'd like to give that we didn't cover, feel free to share that with our audience.
I would just say it's really intimidating to do so, but always be upfront with information that you don't know, because I've done that in all my interviews. I've said, listen, very honestly, this is what I don't know, but this is what I can do. And if I don't know it today, I'll know it tomorrow. But, if you want to be in red teaming or pen testing specifically, we can see through BS really easily. And we always love the people more who say they don't know something, because we're not holding them accountable for skills they don't have. And we're like, you said you could do this thing and now you can't. But we know that they know their holes. They don't just think they're God's gift to pen testing. They know what they need to work on and they know where to go. Also, plan for yourself like a dream list. Like have a plan. Like say if money wasn't an object tomorrow, I would learn these three things and get these four things and I would use them to give back to my job in this way. That speaks volumes because it tells us that you're not just going to get a cert. You actually know how to apply the skills you learn in places to your job. Just know that if you have any questions, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you see wins on social media and they kind of get you down, we've all been there. I failed Sec Plus the first time. 1 week was not enough. I needed the second week. I had to take it twice. So just know that everyone experiences failures. And while we celebrate our wins, there was a lot that went into those wins. So we're always here to encourage you. We have so many resources to help you. If you don't know what they are by now, please ask me. I will point you to them. Otherwise, go kill your dreams.
Yeah, we'll be sharing Meryl's social media contact information. So she's always happy to help people. So I'm sure she'd be happy to help you out. So thanks again for joining us. I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy this episode.
Thanks, everyone. Sorry I talk a lot.
Oh, it's okay. It makes my job easy.
I feel so bad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hacker Factory podcast with Philip Wiley. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.